From DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So I say all the time here on this show that we are the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Now, at this point in time, we're a lot more than a podcast. We're found a thousand different ways in addition to the podcast. But no matter what kind of show we are, we do it for Georgia fans. In other words, you know, as I've said a million times, we're not trying to be within the bubble of the media. We're not trying to sort of reflect what every other reporter is necessarily saying. We want to simply sort of mirror the conversation that's having among Georgia fans. And the way that I know by, you know, what Georgia fans are truly talking about is I look at either the Twitter responses I get at Dog Nation Daily, what's on our forum at forum.dognation.com. The topics that seem to be resonating there are the topics that I know are really important for me to speak about here on a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. And last night was an example of that. You got to realize I got two small kids, so like I'm not plugged in online 24 hours a day. I just can't be. You know, I'm, you know, playing in the yard, putting kids to bed, having dinner at the table. We're kind of doing all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, sometimes, you know, 9:30 at night, something like that, I pull the phone back out to sort of see what's being talked about. And I got, you know, a string of Twitter messages of, did you see what South Carolina wide receiver Deebo Samuel said? B.A., you got to talk about this on Dog Nation Daily. Well, around here, we play the hits. We have, you know, sort of an open request line in terms of the conversation that we deal with. A lot of you seem really bothered by what a Deebo Samuel had to say here this week. We'll get to that in a moment, but let me start the conversation this way, though, that from Georgia's perspective, the week begins with a whole lot of compliments towards Deebo Samuel. Probably the best embodiment of this may have come from Georgia coach Kirby Smart, who, when asked about Samuel this week, made it very, very clear that he views Samuel as one of the best players in the SEC and one of the most, I think he'll use the word underrated here, underrated players in all the sports. So he's probably South Carolina's best player. It's a big challenge for Georgia on Saturday. And earlier in the week, Kirby Smart gave him a big compliment.
He's probably the most underrated player in all of college football because I don't know that everybody in the country knows what the SEC knows about Deebo Samuel. I mean, the guy is phenomenal. When you look at what he's done, even 2 years ago, he gave us fits in that game. And then you turn around and say, okay, he has just a tough injury he has to deal with. But before he had that injury, he had some of the most electric kickoff returns in the country. You see what he's already done in this game, in one game, how explosive he's been at whether it's running back, receiver. And they're creative in ways to find getting him the ball. I mean, he's a 10-touch guy game, 15-touch guy game. They're going to find ways to get him the ball through the screen game, the return game, handing it to him. He's an electric football player that's extremely powerful, confident, hard to tackle. He'll be a key guy for us. You got to get him on the ground when he gets the ball because you don't ever know when it's going to him.
So, listen, I think that's kind of a classy response there from Kirby Smart. Obviously, Samuel is a very good player. Kirby Smart acknowledges that way, and that's sort of what you've come to expect from Kirby Smart in these regards. However, the favor was not returned by Deebo Samuel when he spoke to reporters. I guess it would have been yesterday. He's asked about DeAndre Baker, the likely first-round pick for Georgia in the secondary, a guy that, you know, Connor Riley this week at DogNation.com in the Good Day UGA piece sort of talked about the potential battle that Baker and Samuel could have all day long in terms of two future really high-profile NFL draft picks kind of going head-to-head in a battle of wide receiver versus defensive back on Saturday. Well, let me tell you something. Deebo Samuel is not playing along with that hype because, as he explains it here to Josh Kendall, the reporter from the State, he doesn't even apparently know who DeAndre Baker is. A lot of Georgia fans were bothered by this. Listen and see if you think this is an honest misunderstanding or if this is an example of Samuel, as the kids say, throwing some shade DeAndre Baker's way. Take a listen.
What are your early impressions of DeAndre Baker?
Who?
18, I think, their cornerback.
Oh, really ain't watched much of them, but I'm really get to it today.
Do you get more excited when there is a guy across the way who is highly publicized, who people consider really good?
Yes, sir. I take a challenge every day with the guys we got here.
So when you study a guy, what do you look for?
Watch his feet, hands, see if he got good ball skills.
Do you remember him? He was there last year. Do you remember any, I guess you didn't.
I didn't play that year.
Him last year. I'm trying to remember if he was there. So you probably never seen him.
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Do you have any memory of that?
I had a pretty good game.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to call foul on this. And, you know, different people hear different things, and they're going to, I guess, come to their own conclusion. But the Georgia fans who were upset about this, I think, have a right to be so. This is what I call passive-aggressive, and to me, passive-aggressive is sort of the least attractive quality in any human being, college football players included. You'd like to think football players can transcend that. At the beginning of the conversation, he says, I've never heard of DeAndre Baker. I'll get to watching some of that film here this week. And then at the end of the conversation, he seemingly is aware that Baker played in the 2016 game when Georgia went to South Carolina on the Sunday, and Deebo Samuel seemingly is aware he had four catches for 90 yards there that day. So have you heard of DeAndre Baker or have you not? It seems like he has, but it just sort of, at least my read on this is, he is choosing to take a bit of a slide in Baker's direction on this. And in fairness to Deebo Samuel, he did have a good game against Georgia, and I guess presumably some of that came against Baker in 2016. But I'm also kind of a fan of old movies. I love the old gangster movie Goodfellas from the very early 90s, and Joe Pesci has a line in that movie at one point in time when he's getting sort of ribbed and jabbed at from another gangster. He says, listen, you've been away for kind of a long time. I don't know if you know, I don't shine shoes anymore. He says it slightly different, but that's the basic gist of what he has to say there. And I think that DeAndre Baker could actually sort of respond back to Deebo Samuel much the same way. You're thinking back to a game in 2016 when I had just, very recently got on the football field. I don't know if you know, but you've been away for a long time. You were rehabbing an injury in 2017. Guess what? A lot has changed with DeAndre Baker over the course of 2017. He became a very good defensive back. The same guy that Samuel's going to battle in 2018 is not the guy that he saw in 2016. I think the Georgia fans who were a little put off by this, especially when you see the video, I think that the Georgia fans were a little put off by this, sort of have a right to feel that way. And frankly, backing this up even further is some of the stuff that Samuel said going back to the summer. I mean, really, he kind of foreshadowed the way that he felt about Georgia then. He goes on the Feinbaum show back during SEC Media Days in Atlanta in July. And, the kind of chatter that you hear from Samuel here, very much in keeping with what you kind of expect sometimes in trash talk with rivalries. Well, at the time, you go back to July, I mean, Samuel told Paul Feinbaum that he really viewed Georgia as a rival for South Carolina on par with the in-state rival Clemson. Could some of that be the fuel that sort of causes, Deebo Samuel to say what he says there about DeAndre Baker? Well, listen to Samuel from July and judge for yourself.
The fans I talked to seem fixated on that second game of the year. Do I need to tell you which one that is?
No, sir. I haven't heard it all day.
You have to look at it as a big picture, because even if you lose that game, it's not over. But in terms of special games,
That is going to be a big game for us, like a real big game. We're going to feed off that. And, I mean, depending on how the game goes, I mean, it's going to affect the rest of the season. And I feel like we're going to attack every day the same day.
Are there other games? I mean, a lot of rivalries in this league, but
we got two rivalries in this league. We got first rivalry is Georgia, and second is Clemson.
Well, guess what, Deebo Samuel? It's a big game for you, and I'm guessing here behind the scenes privately, this is going to become an even bigger game for Georgia now as well, much like Mississippi State did a year ago after what Jonathan Abram said, much like Florida did a year ago with what Chauncey Gardner said. I think you can kind of put this South Carolina game in that same category. In fact, if you want to go back to last October when Chauncey Gardner had sort of taken some shots at Jake Fromm before the game, I think that became sort of a source of motivation for some of the Georgia players. So much so that after Georgia had beaten Florida 42-7, Kirby Smart was asked about that trash talk from Florida before the game. Now, you can decide for yourself if this Deebo Samuel stuff actually sort of fits the bill of actually being trash talk, but if it is, and my guess is a lot of Georgia players will view it that way, here's how Kirby Smart explained back in October how Georgia handles all this kind of stuff.
Now, leadership group handles that. I mean, I've gotten to the point I don't really have to anymore. They understand. They know that we do our talking with our helmets. I mean, we want to have class. We want to have integrity. We really don't want to be talking to the media about the other team, because nothing you should say.
And as far as that leadership group from a year ago, much like the same leaders or a new group of leaders will handle this in 2018, one of those guys was Lorenzo Carter. And he also kind of went into some detail about how stuff like this from Georgia's perspective is used, and maybe how this 2018 team will use what Deebo Samuel said this week. Here's one of last year's stars, Lorenzo Carter.
That's what it does. That's what bulletin board material is. I mean, it's just a little extra fire, but I mean, we don't need that. I mean, we have enough fire and intrinsic motivation, like with the team, that anything else outside is noise that we block out.
With all due respect to the very respectful, or I should say to the very well-spoken and intelligent Lorenzo Carter, let me slightly edit his words a little bit. He says it's extra fire, but we don't need that. I think you could also say that a slightly different way. A team that doesn't need any extra motivation may have just gotten some. And last year, when that happened against Mississippi State, you saw what the outcome was. When that happened against Florida, you saw what the outcome was. I think that Deebo Samuel's words here, whether he meant them as an intentional slight or not, privately will be used as so. I think it becomes fuel for a Georgia team that was already on its way to getting a big win, may now get an even bigger win come Saturday. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Barco's Pizza. Good to have you with us, whether it's live on video at 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, Twitter feed, on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. I had a great time with being on the morning show on 960 The Ref this morning, or in podcast form, pretty much wherever podcasts can be found. We're really glad that you are with us here today on Dog Nation Daily, and really happy to have Barco's Pizza as well. And Barco's lets me know something, that today is actually National Cheese Pizza Day. So I hope you're celebrating the holiday with family and friends. But National Cheese Pizza Day is today. And at Barco's today, for one day only, very special offer, you can get the extra large big cheese pizza from Barco's. It's five delicious cheeses on one Magnifico melt. You can order yours from Barco's.com. How about a special offer today on that that big extra large big cheese pizza from Barco's? It's great to have Barco's Pizza here with us for Dog Nation Daily. Also, if you're making plans for tonight, I hope you'll make plans to join us for our Marlowe's big game preview. It comes up starting at 6 p.m. at the Marlowe's Tavern location in Dunwoody. As I've been telling you, Terrapin Brewery going to be on hand for this. The folks from Marlowe's Tavern going to have the smoker out front, kind of cranking that up and kind of getting that going. We'll also have our buddy Brandon Cablano, the former Georgia offensive lineman. Brandon's actually going to join us a little bit later on in the show here today. He will also be with us tonight starting at 6 p.m. So it's going to be a lot of fun there at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody for our Marlowe's big game preview. It starts at 6 p.m. If you're watching, we'll show you the address on that and make sure you get a chance to be there and be a part of all that going down at 6 p.m. a little bit later on tonight. For now, though, let me turn my attention back to what is going to happen with the big game on Saturday with Georgia and South Carolina as we go around the doghouse. It is brought to you today by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. And, you know, away from the extra bulletin board material or the supposed trash talk between Deebo Samuel and how he may feel or not feel about DeAndre Baker, there's also, I think, some you know, nuts and bolts stuff involving the game that's here really interesting. And one of the things that I've been following with South Carolina, really going back into the spring and sort of taking it, you know, up until South Carolina's first game last Saturday, is this supposed commitment to an up-tempo offense. In the spring, South Carolina talked about it a lot. On Saturday, though, Muschamp seemed to backtrack on that just a little bit. Would they run more plays? Would they try to play more up-tempo? He said, Muschamp, and we played this audio earlier in the week on our show, that they will do it sometimes, and sometimes they won't. They'll let the opponent dictate that. That's a little bit more like what I would expect to hear from Will Muschamp. I'm just a big believer that Muschamp's cut from the same cloth that Kirby Smart is at Georgia, or maybe even Jeremy Pruitt is, the brand-new coach at Tennessee. Ultimately, these head coaches, I don't believe, are going to make any kind of decision with the offense that puts their precious defense in harm's way. And I say that somewhat mockingly, but the truth is that Muschamp, like Kirby's, a astute defensive mind. That's his background. He wants a good defensive unit, I think maybe more than so than anything else. He's not going to allow offensive play calling to put his defense in harm's way. And Kirby Smart talked about that a little bit. He was asked this week, you know, do you expect South Carolina to be up-tempo? Are you surprised that that's the direction that Muschamp is going? And I thought that Kirby Smart gave a pretty candid and kind of a wide-ranging answer here. So when you think about the South Carolina offense and what it might look like, let Kirby Smart's description here maybe give you a little bit more context for all of that.
Tempo is in every offense in America now, so and I think it's the way of the world. If you can create an advantage by going up-tempo and you have the kind of quarterback he has who can lead and coach on the field and do the things he does, I certainly think it's a big advantage, and I think you see a lot of teams out there. I think the key is, can you go up-tempo and still run the ball, which they can. And that's the key to going up-tempo, because up-tempo does nothing if you're three and out, and I think he'd be the first to tell you that.
So I think it's interesting that Kirby kind of gives a little bit of praise South Carolina's direction. Can you go up tempo and still run the ball, which South Carolina can? I would argue that last year South Carolina wasn't particularly effective running the football, but obviously it doesn't behoove Kirby Smart to say that then. I mean, I do think this is one of those issues that could ultimately decide this game on Saturday. Does South Carolina try to, you know, use Jake Bentley in such a way that it becomes a detriment to establishing a run, establishing a kind of dominance along the line of scrimmage, or creating such a pace that makes it hard for the defense on the other side of the ball to maintain that? I simply don't think that South Carolina right now has enough personnel to maybe do what Brian McClendon and Dan Warner, the quarterback's coach, want to do. And I think it's one of those really interesting storylines to kind of keep track of when you get ready for Saturday. And that's why we focused on it today here on Around around the doghouse, brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. You know, around the doghouse here today, of course, when we speak about Engineered Solutions of Georgia, we're thinking about all of the great things they do, like foundation repair, basement waterproofing, crawl space, encapsulation. You know, they offer you a lifetime of support. That's why you want to give them a call right now at 678-ESOG-NOW. That's 678-ESOG-NOW. You can have one of their qualified professional technicians come to your home, whether you've got a cracked foundation, a wet basement, or a damp crawl space. Trust the only foundation repair company the Dog Nation trusts, the only company with a full-time engineer on staff. I'm talking about Engineered Solutions of Georgia, and it's great to have them with us as a part of Around the Doghouse today here on Dog Nation Daily. It's also great to have Mike Griffith, who's been doing a great job covering the Georgia Bulldogs there for DogNation.com in Athens. He's got a lot of insight on what's going to happen on Saturday. Let's talk to him right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Well, so Mike Griffith here as promised. And, you know, Mike, you've written a lot of great things at DogNation.com. One of the most interesting things that I think you've written about this week, and I wanted to sort of start our conversation with that, is piggybacking off something that Kirby Smart said, I believe it was on Monday, about wanting to see more explosive runs from his running backs. And you sort of took that as a, well, maybe this is a challenge to get Jake Fromm more involved throwing the football on Saturday against South Carolina. You know, I think that obviously my belief on this is, and I want you to kind of expound on your point, is that Georgia, I think, is going to use Fromm more in 2018 than they used him in 2017. I do expect the balance to be a little bit more, you know, closer to 50-50 than it probably has been over the last couple of years with this offense. And yet I think I still expect big things from DeAndre Swift and Elijah Holyfield in the first half on Saturday and James Cook once he's eligible to return in the second half. I still expect a big day from the Georgia running backs on Saturday. Made my case about that yesterday. I guess would you mind sort of piggybacking off of what you wrote at DogNation.com?
Yeah, you know, one thing Kirby said about the offensive identity is that it's going to have a lot to do with how the other teams play you and what they give you, how they line up. I mean, Jake Fromm goes to the line of scrimmage with two play calls every snap, and it's up to Jake to make the right read as far as what play is available. Now, it could be two run plays. It could be an inside run and an outside run, or it could be a run play and a pass play. And, you know, I think where Jake has developed to as a second-year quarterback, Brandon, is he can make those reads and see those things and feel more confident, I think, going to the throw. You know, Georgia was very conservative, ultra-conservative last year. And when I say it's time to, you know, check out of the run-heavy scheme, I'm talking about when Georgia was calling runs 68% of the time last year. That's more than every other team other than option teams, you know, like Army and Georgia Tech that, you know, run the ball triple option. So Georgia was the most run-heavy non-option team in the country, and that's not going to work this year because you don't have Nick Chubb and Sony Michel. And, you know, I've got confidence that Swift and Holyfield will have their moments, but they're not Chubb and Michel. And the idea that they are is not correct at this point. We saw Austin Peay make those guys look relatively ordinary in the run game between the tackles.
Well, the one thing I will say is in terms of Fromm in this game on Saturday is, you know, a lot of attention is going to get paid to Debo Samuel, Brian Edwards, the two South Carolina wide receivers against Georgia's secondary. But, you know, as you know, Mike, South Carolina starting a freshman of its own, J.C. Horn, who Muschamp flipped from Tennessee there for the 2018 class, he's going to start. Jamias Williams is still a relatively young player, probably playing that nickelback position. This is a little bit of a green secondary for South Carolina as well, which for a guy like Fromm, who last year was incredibly accurate on deep throws, he was like 40-something percent on throws of 20 or more yards down the field, according to Pro Football Focus. I mean, if we're going to say that South Carolina has its opportunities against the Georgia secondary, Mike, I think it's only objectively fair to say that Georgia can also feast a bit on a bit of an untested South Carolina secondary, too.
Well, I take this conversation too off the rails, but I don't know when Debo Samuel became Jerry Rice. I mean, maybe, you know, relative to other South Carolina players, but, I mean, we're talking about this guy like he's a household name, and, you know, I got to see it to believe it against Georgia's secondary. I don't think Debo Samuel's going to be a big factor in Saturday's game. You know, I think I give Kirby Smart and Georgia's secondary more credit to that. Now, I think South Carolina can do some other things. I think Jake Bentley's a good quarterback, but as to your point, I don't expect Jake Fromm to go deep either. You know, one thing Will Muschamp is really good at, you know, he doesn't let many receivers get behind his secondary. South Carolina is a very typically a bend-but-don't-break defense. You know, they're really good at forcing turnovers. Their secondary is well-schooled, I think. But I think what you're going to see in the pass game is I think you're going to see Jake throwing underneath, utilizing the tight ends on the backside of the backfield. Now, that's not to say that Mecole Hardman or Demetrius Roberts or even Riley really, you know, won't get loose deep at one time. I mean, it, you know, South Carolina's going to take chances. You know, they can't double cover everybody, and Georgia's got as much perimeter speed, I think, as any team in the nation. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you Georgia's not going to make big plays, but what I will tell you is that I think Jake's going to dink and dunk and take what they give him until there's a breakdown. And then once there is, I think Georgia will probably explode.
So you mentioned Debo Samuel. I want to talk to you more about him in just a minute, including what we were reacting to off the top of the show with his comments about DeAndre Baker. Before that, though, you wrote about something that Gene Chizik, the former national championship-winning coach at Auburn, said on the SEC Network this week about Justin Fields and Chizik's belief that Fields ought to have some sort of role for Georgia on Saturday. And, Mike, the point that I tried to make about this yesterday, and maybe I didn't articulate it as well as I could, let me see if I can do it clearly with you here, is that Fields, if he ends up playing, may have to play for reasons that have nothing to do with Jake Fromm. Let's say that you're right for a moment. Now, I think I'm probably a little higher on the Georgia running backs going into Saturday than you are, but let's say that you're right and Georgia's not getting those explosive plays that Kirby Smart called for from his running game. At that point in time, don't you have to explore the option, no pun intended, of putting Fields in the game to see if he can get the explosive run going? Not because Fromm's ineffective throwing the football, but because on a 3rd and 5, you just may need a dangerous pair of legs, and it comes from your backup quarterback maybe more than it comes from your running backs. I don't think the Georgia running backs are going to struggle on Saturday, but if your take is more correct than mine, at that point in time, does that not sort of call for maybe some sort of role for Fields the way that Gene Chizik described?
I just don't think it. I don't think Justin's there yet, Brandon. I mean, this is his first road game, and you know, we saw in his first 6 plays last week, 3 of his first 6 plays he ran the ball. Those weren't called runs. Okay, that was a panicked freshman quarterback that didn't know what to do, and his first instinct was to pull the ball down. And this is a long season. This is a 15-game season. You don't need Justin Fields going out there and getting injured in the second game of the season because you hit the panic button and you fall behind 7 points on the road. If anything, I want Jake Fromm out there if the team's behind. I want Jake Fromm out there down 10 or down 13 because chances are you're going to have to throw the football. And I just, you know, there may come a time when Justin Fields is that guy that you put in there for the spark, but I just don't think it's the second game of his true freshman year on the road in a hostile environment in a nationally televised contest. I feel like Jake Fromm, this is Jake's game all the way. I think the only way you really see Justin is if, you know, Georgia's in control, and I think they will be. You know, I think Georgia wins this game by 17 points. You know, I know I backed down a little bit. I said 21 before, but I'm going to say 17 now. Just because I'm not convinced that Georgia's going to make a living with the run game like they did the last time they were there 2 years ago. I think Jake Fromm's going to have to throw the football and make good decisions and do what he does. You know, but here's the great thing. You know, we talk about dinking and dunking with Jake and throwing underneath. When you're throwing underneath to guys like Demetrius Robertson and Mecole Hardman, Terry Godwin may be back for this game, Riley Ridley, these are guys that can take it the distance. You know, they can make a 7-yard pass go 70. And in the second half, you know, James Cook will be back. And, you know, he is an explosive athlete. And I think it's just a matter of time before he takes one of the house. And, you know, DeAndre Swift is very determined to have a better game. You know, he knows that he didn't have the type of game he wanted in that first outing in terms of what he was able to do. So I do think there will be some big plays made. I do think we'll see Justin Fields in the fourth quarter.
Let me follow up on what you said about Fromm here for a moment. I'm a believer that Fromm has a big day on Saturday, and yet just to play devil's advocate here for a moment, Mike, you can make a case that Fromm did not see a lot of atmospheres last year, even though he was virtually the full season starter for Georgia, like you'll see this year. Kirby Smart himself talked about how the Notre Dame game, Fromm's first start, is no real comparison to South Carolina because there were so many Georgia fans in the building. A raucous crowd in Auburn in November, obviously that was probably Fromm's worst game as a starter in his freshman season. Any part of you with a wait-and-see approach of, let's see how Fromm handles a crowd again after not really seeing all that many hostile crowds a year ago because Georgia was either up big on the road or traveled so many fans that it wasn't a true road environment?
Not really, not at all. You know, here's the thing, and this might surprise you, and obviously it's a different tenor here. It's a different tenor, and, you know, talking to the players, talking to the coaches. You know, obviously, you know, I've covered different. This doesn't feel like a big game here. You know, the players, nobody's out of, nobody's breathless. Nobody's eyes are lit white. You know, Kirby Smart is calm and poised. And it just, it doesn't feel like we're on the, you know, like this is some, we're headed to some big battle, huge monster game. You know, South Carolina feels that way. I get it. You know, South Carolina's never really won anything. This would be a big opportunity for South Carolina to beat a number three ranked team at home and get the momentum going and, oh, what a party. But for Georgia, Brandon, it's been very business as usual. This is businesslike. I mean, Kirby doesn't seem too uptight about it. Nobody seems uptight about it. This is, it's like, you know, South Carolina, okay, you know, shrug. You know, it's, now when November 10th comes and Auburn's rolling in here, I got a feeling it's going to be a different feel. But right now, I mean, this is, you know, I'm not even sure these Georgia players really believe South Carolina is a rival. I ask them about it, and they're kind of like, well, you know, yeah, I guess. You know, this is just, it's business as usual here. This, you know, I get it. It's the CBS game. SEC Network's going to be there. A lot of people on the outside called for an upset. But inside, you know, Heritage Hall, it's really, you know, nobody's blood pressure is too up. Nobody's heartbeat's going too fast. It's business as usual in Athens.
I think that's really interesting, Mike. This doesn't have a whole lot to do with who wins or loses on Saturday, but I am genuinely curious about this. Kirby Smart and Will Muschamp are actually friends. They're like legitimate friends. They have a legitimate relationship. They've, you know, been on the road together. They, you know, even have sort of a joking cadence with their press conferences about each other, which you've sort of witnessed firsthand here this week. What do you think it's actually probably truly like if you're coaching against someone who's not a bitter rival who you hate, but someone that you've, you know, shared meals with and hung out with? I mean, if you had to guess, and you've been around college football for a million years, what's it like when you actually have a friend, an honest friend on the other sideline?
Yeah, I've seen it. You know, it's business as usual. You know, the friendship, you know, it takes a back seat, you know, to the game. I mean, you might know the other person's tendencies and you know, have a feel for what they're going to do. And, you know, you might exchange, you know, your pregame conversation might go a little bit longer and might have a little bit more family talk and, you know, more legit talk. I mean, it's just, you know, I just thought of it. It's got to be hard to be Will Muschamp. You know, you're Will. You had the job. You had the Florida job. You're in the driver's seat. And, you know, Kirby Smart's just blown right by you. And you're at South Carolina and Kirby's at Georgia making more money now. Better team, better school, better situation. You know, it's got to be tough in that respect for Will. I mean, I'm sure he probably wishes he had the Georgia job. But, you know, as it is, South Carolina's not a bad job, and a lot of people, you know, glad to see him back in coaching after what happened at Florida. And, you know, it's hard for me to ever imagine Will Muschamp being the coach at Georgia. You know, I see Kirby here for a long time. Maybe Will Muschamp's kind of the Jackie Sherrill of Georgia. You know, Jackie Sherrill was an Alabama guy. And I remember I used to go to media days when Jackie was coaching Mississippi State. And I'd always tell the guy next to me, watch this, I'm going to ask him about Alabama. He's going to talk more about Alabama than he does his own team. And he did. And there's a part of me that wonders, you know, how hung up Will might be with Georgia, you know, having been a former player and whatnot. So, you know, it kind of took your question in a different direction there, but that's kind of what I think. I just don't think the friendship thing really goes beyond, you know, the off season and, you know, the small talk and things like that. I mean, Kirby Smart, he's here to win championships, and if that means he's got to step on Will Muschamp Saturday, he will.
You brought up Deebo Samuel a moment ago, and I got a lot of messages on Twitter last night, Mike, about what Samuel said about DeAndre Baker, allegedly not knowing who DeAndre Baker is. And there's always two ways of looking at this kind of stuff. On the one hand, this may be an example of Samuel, who's not a trained speaker, just getting caught off guard by a question. I'd want to give him the benefit of the doubt if that was the case. But when you listen to the rest of the context of Samuel's answer, it does sort of sound like he's taking a jab at DeAndre Baker. Mike, if I had to guess, this is the kind of thing that if Georgia players and coaches were asked about, they'd pretend they knew nothing about. They would pretend it's not a big deal. And yet Scott Sinclair, the Georgia strength coach, or other, you know, sort of Georgia leadership type players will be pounding this drum all week long, and Georgia will kind of go out there and use that maybe as a little bit of an extra spark. How would you sort of guess this is being handled, if it's even being handled at all?
Yeah, you know, Georgia's aware of all this stuff, and you're right. They know about it, but they don't talk about it. You know, I think Kirby sets the tone, and you saw how relaxed he was yesterday. And, you know, it wasn't an act. I mean, he's just really at peace. You know, this is a prepared football team. It's a talented football team. It's a proven football team. As much as they say it's a new year, this seems like a continuation to me. This is a championship environment right now, Brandon. And you know, I've been around special teams that have done special things, and this Georgia team has all the markings. They're not perfect now. We've pointed out their warts. We've talked about not having a bell cow that can run between the tackles. We've talked about, you know, Kirby even called them soft up front. They're a little unproven young guys in the second. You know, they're not there yet. This team has to evolve, and there's a process. And could they trip up? Sure. But, you know, from a disposition standpoint, George is very poised right now. And it's confident, but it's quiet confidence. This is a team that you know, they're ready for what they're going into. And, you know, give South Carolina credit. They're going to try and make things as crazy and loud and angry. And if they can get somebody out of their game and get in somebody's head, they've got to do all that stuff. You know, they've got to put on a clown show there, right? Because if all things are equal and teams play like they're supposed to play, Georgia wins this game by at least 2 touchdowns. So South Carolina's got to create an environment. They got to get themselves amped up. They got to get their crowd amped up. They got to try and convince the world that they can win and hope that something happens early in that football game to get the momentum. And if they're able to do that, the longer they can stick around and stay in the game, they've got to hope that Georgia breaks. Now, I just don't see it because Jake Fromm's been in that situation before. I mean, he trailed Oklahoma and Baker Mayfield. Are we really having this discussion about Deebo Samuel and South Carolina? Are we really going to put them in the same breath as playing it on the sacred grounds of Notre Dame for your first career start? I mean, come on. Let's get real here. It's South Carolina, not Clemson.
I mean, listen, I think that's all very well said, Mike. It's a fascinating breakdown of the game. That's why we love reading you at DogNation.com. You're a great guest here on Dog Nation Daily. Keep it going the rest of the week, Mike. Help us get to Saturday because we're all on pins and needles around here. And then we'll see you in Columbia coming up Saturday afternoon.
Everybody in Athens is resting easy, Brandon.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Listen, Mike is he plays every play at full speed. I've said that before. A really fascinating remarks from Mike about how Georgia may be handling all of this and sort of comparison to how South Carolina may be handling all of this, which is a very familiar storyline in this game. You know, for years and years we've heard about, oh, this is one of South Carolina's biggest rivals. Deebo Samuel, I think, confirmed that earlier, what he said to the Paul Feinbaum show in July. For Georgia, it is just another game. In this case, though, I don't think that's a negative thing. I think that Georgia, as Mike said, has been through a lot of landmines at South Bend, Rose Bowl, SEC Championship versus Auburn. And, you know, Georgia's passed these tests recently with flying colors, so that should be fun to see coming up on Saturday. Let me also remind you, by the way, that if you feel as strongly about this Georgia game as I do, or maybe some of the other folks who have weighed in on this do, then you may want to trust the folks that we trust right here at Dog Nation, MyBookie, because they offer the fast, no-hassle payout when you win. You can find MyBookie online. It's MyBookie. That's how you spell it. Find them online and sign up. And sort of the best thing right now for Dog Nation daily listeners and viewers, when you do sign up and use the promo code DOGNATION, your first deposit can be matched dollar for dollar. So check out the ones we like around here, the ones that offer the fast, no-hassle payout. You play, you win, you get paid. It is simple as that with MyBookie online. Find them, MyBookie. Use the promo DOGNATION, and you are in with the first deposit matched up to dollar for dollar there. And I wish I could show you this on camera right now, but I can't. Just off to my left on the other side of the glass where our producers sit, we're up here on the, the fourth floor of our Dog Nation World headquarters, and the window washers are fast at work right now. That is a job much more difficult than the one that I'm doing right now. So prayers out to them that they can keep that going. But we're going to have Brandon Cablano here coming up in a couple of minutes. He'll sort of talk to us tonight about the Marlowe's big game preview and the game against South Carolina on Saturday. He's going to be with us at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody tonight. Before that, though, let me hit a couple stories from around the SEC. I brought this up on Monday's show, or actually, I guess, yeah, Monday's show, on the heels of LSU's big win against Miami. The one sort of negative there for the Tigers is that Clavon Chessen, the really outstanding pass rusher, who was all over the backfield for LSU on Saturday, he does suffer an injury, going to be out for the rest of the season there for LSU. Devastating news for the Tigers. Now, obviously, the fact is not lost on me that Georgia does go there in October, and somehow now I guess the LSU defense could be a little bit less effective. But the theory I've always sort of operated on is I love it when the SEC has as many good players as possible. It just makes the league more fun. And watching, you know, LSU Auburn a couple weeks is now going to be just a, you know, millimeter or so less fun because Chesson's not playing. I know a lot of LSU fans, many of which you watch our show every single day, are devastated by this news. And so certainly disappointed for the LSU folks there. That's a big, big injury. The first, I think, major injury of the year here. Clavon Chesson, one of the top pass rushers, not available to LSU anymore. South Carolina is set to get a player back and eligible this week. It's Javon Charleston. You may remember over the last few months, Charleston's dealt with some pretty significant criminal charges. Among them, one of those charges was burglary. But it looks like those charges are going to be dropped based on some of the, I think you call this pretrial intervention, whatever. I'm not a lawyer. I probably shouldn't even use that language. But some way or another, the legal stuff is getting cleaned up for Charleston. He did not play last week against Coastal Carolina, but it looks like he's going to be eligible for South Carolina moving forward. This is a guy who was a former walk-on but played a good bit last year on special teams, so he is a body to be used but probably not a game-changing player. It does seem like his situation is kind of cleaned up here, though, and he is back for South Carolina here. Then one more story to get to before we bring on Brandon Cablano, the former great Georgia offensive lineman. Both polls come out here, AP and the coaches poll, and you've got a lot of movement in both of them. Alabama collects more first-place votes in the AP poll. I think six people who had voted for Clemson number one previously changed their vote to Alabama this week on the heels of Alabama's blowout against Louisville. So Alabama number one with a bullet right now. Auburn up to number seven in both polls here at the moment. LSU jumps up to number 11 after being at 25 before. So they're rewarded with the very nice win. Mississippi State stays where they are at 18. And then South Carolina and Florida enter both polls here, both unranked a week ago, in at 24 and 25 in both the AP and the coaches poll. And then one more note to give you about the coaches poll. Georgia, on the basis of something, leapfrogs Ohio State. Despite the fact that poor Ohio State had beaten a Pac-12 team in its week one opener, Georgia beat Austin Peay, but the coaches apparently saw something from Georgia worth moving Georgia ahead of Ohio State in the coaches poll. I guess anytime you can claim a win against Urban Meyer, like Georgia fans will take that, and I guess we'll also make that your SEC through. And as I said a little earlier, really, really excited about tonight, 6 p.m., for our Marlowe's Big Game Preview. This is something we've done for the last couple of years here around Dog Nation, and this year is going to be a lot of fun as well, especially tonight because we're going to be on the lawn there at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody. The folks from Terrapin Brewery are going to be on hand. Marlowe's going to have the smoker out front sort of cranking that thing up and cooking some delicious food. If you show up wearing your red and black, you're going to get a complimentary appetizer courtesy of Marlowe's. We've also been very, very happy to announce a special guest joining us. He's the former great offensive lineman at the University of Georgia. He is Brandon Cablano. And Brandon, let me first of all say thanks for being with us here today on a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. And I'm really excited about you being there with us tonight at the Marlowe's Tavern there in Dunwoody. Thanks so much for being on hand, and thanks for being with us here today. How you doing?
Good, Brandon. I'm doing well. I'm excited about tonight. Look forward to discussing our team and status of the team and going into South Carolina.
Yeah, I am too. And, you know, I think you're such a great person, Brandon, to discuss a lot of this kind of stuff with because you were legitimately one of the true leaders for Georgia and Kirby Smart's first team there in, you know, 2016. And one of the things we talked about a little bit earlier in our show is, you know, how Georgia players respond when they maybe hear what sounds like trash talk or sounds like bulletin board material coming from the other side. There was a lot of that in 2017. Some people are going to say you're hearing some of that from South Carolina right now. And, you know, Kirby last year talked about how the leaders of the team are really the ones that sort of take a lead on kind of dealing with that kind of stuff and sort of whatever tone needs to be set, it's going to be set by players instead of coaches. I would imagine you were one of the guys that sort of helped create that culture for Kirby in 2016. Would you mind kind of taking us sort of behind closed doors here when somebody says something that could potentially be extra motivation or could also potentially be something that sort of gets a Georgia player distracted and not focusing on the main thing, as Kirby Smart likes to say it? How do leaders around the team handle that kind of thing?
I think ever since Coach Smart came in, it was all about you want to control your message. You want to control what your team says and how they respond to things. But, you know, I think a lot of teams these days are caution to put bulletin board material out there, and if they do put it out there, I think everyone uses it to their advantage. I mean, it's a big, you know, it's a motivator, and I think, you know, there have been times where you plaster stuff all over the weight room to motivate people. I don't think it I think it affects the guys in a more positive way. You know, I think you want the other team to feel like, you know, I think Georgia's at the point where we're never going to come out and say anything. We're going to be, you know, we want to control the message. We don't want to come out and trash talk another team. It's going to be, you know, let them talk and we'll just go to work.
What did
I
you
– that is.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Brandon. Go ahead and finish your answer. I'm sorry.
I think that's one of the biggest things. You know, you want to control your message and, you know, use that stuff to your advantage.
What did you think of what happened against Austin Peay on Saturday? Were you satisfied with what you saw?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously it's the first game, and, you know, they're definitely the jitters, and there are some young kids playing. You know, we got that new rule where you're allowed to play freshman. I think that's an awesome opportunity for young guys. But I thought defense played exceptionally well, and, you know, I thought the offense did good at times, and, you know, obviously I think the run game needs to be picked up if we want to be successful in this league. You know, everything's based off running the ball. But I thought we did well for the first game. You know, there are always going to be missed assignments, but, you know, it was a good test. Good to see what we were missing and going into South Carolina, because South Carolina is not going to be an easy task.
Yeah, not an easy test, but I guess we'll finish up with this if you don't mind. You know, maybe I'm overly confident here. Maybe I'm, you know, writing a check that's going to be a little bit difficult to cash come Saturday afternoon, but I think this is a test that Georgia is ready for. Brandon, I am expecting Georgia not to win, you know, 42-0 or anything like that, but, you know, if the number's 9.5, the point spread, I think Georgia likely covers that number, probably a comfortable couple touchdown win. Am I overconfident right now if I'm a Georgia fan saying that, or how do you sort of have an early glance at what's going to happen on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been, you know, you take one game at a time, and, you know, I think I've always been a little bit more cautionary in the past. You know, I think it's going to be a tough game. Don't give, you know, I don't think you can discount South Carolina. Coach Muschamp's going to have them going. They're coached extremely well, and the crowd's going to be in their favor, and it's going to be, I mean, if you've ever been to South Carolina, it gets hot. 3:30 game, so it'll be loud, hot, and it'll be a good test. I mean, I think, you know, we're not going to go in overly confident, but I think it'll be a good game. It'll be a tough physical game, and I'm excited for it. It's gonna be good to see how the younger kids react in that kind of situation.
Good game on Saturday. Great time tonight. Marlowe's in Dunwoody starting at 6 p.m. for our Marlowe's Big Game Preview. Brandon, I cannot wait to talk more about this game with you then, and say hello to a lot of Georgia fans on hand there as well. Thanks for being a part of it, and I'll look forward to seeing you this evening.
Yep, look forward to it. See you later.
Thanks so much. So, really good stuff there from Brandon Caplano, and it all goes down tonight, starting at 6 p.m. at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody. It's 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway. Now, if you're listening, let me give you the address one more time. 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway. Myself, Brandon Caplano, the former great Georgia offensive lineman. He's got some great stories to tell. We'll do the off-air Q&A the way we always do. So you want to hear some sort of not fit for a broadcast type stuff from Brandon, he'll give that to you before we go live. And, of course, if you can't be with us at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody, we hope you can be. But if you can't be, join us around 7 p.m. for a live broadcast as we get ready for South Carolina with more from the great former Georgia offensive lineman Brandon Caplano here this evening from the Marlowe's Tavern in Dunwoody. Terrapin Brewery going to be there. We're going to be out on the lawn. The smoker going to be cranked up there by Marlowe's. They got the great food, and they'll give a complimentary appetizer to anyone who shows up wearing red and black. Let me also say the 52 days from right now, Georgia beats Florida again. It's our Gator Hater Countdown. We'll see you tomorrow right here on a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza.